You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by two of my fellow members of the Australian Economics team, Christina Clifton and Nick Geno. Good to have you both on.
Thanks, Belinda.
Thank you, Belinda.
Now, today we're going to talk about kind of two topics but that are highly related. The first of all is the outlook for infrastructure spending in the Australian economy, and then how the various state economic performances have been going in 2020 and what we can look forward to in 2021. So one of the things we've noticed in the Australian economy over 2020 is obviously we've had the recession, we are now in recovery. A lot of that support to get the Australian economy through to recovery has been through direct income support payments. We've had JobSeeker, JobKeeper, a lot of household benefit payments and support payments to businesses as well. But when we look forward to some of the growth drivers in 2021, we obviously have the consumer is a big one. But what we've also noticed is that we'll start to have a rising contribution from public sector infrastructure spending. Now, Christina, why have the state and federal governments turned to infrastructure as a way to help the economic recovery?
Yeah, infrastructure spending does have a lot of benefits. It's a really great way to lift economic growth and jobs in the short term while the projects are being built. And if we look at all the different the federal government budget papers and all the different states government budget papers, all of these governments have basically brought forward projects and are also prioritising projects that can be built straight away. So this is one of the ways that they're supporting the economy through the recovery period. Another benefit of infrastructure spending is that it boosts productivity in the medium to longer term. So for example, if we think about having good transport infrastructure, it really has positive and productivity boosting benefits for households and businesses. It also boosts people's well-being as well.
And obviously at the moment, very low interest rates are helping both the federal and state government realise that the economic return on these projects far outweighs, I guess, the cost of doing these projects at this point in time. You spent a lot of time looking at the various state and federal budget papers and gone through and added up what the numbers on infrastructure spend or public capital expenditure look like for 2021. How is that looking and how do you expect it to contribute to the economy?
Yes, we add up all the capex spending across all the different federal and state governments. It shows that there's about $117 billion in capex spending to come in 2021. So that's just a bit over 6% of GDP. It's also about 37% more than last year. So it is a very big lift. And we're estimating that this capex spending will add around 1.7 percentage points to growth. And most of this capex spending is infrastructure, so it's things like roads, trains, other forms of public transport, schools and hospitals.
Are there any state governments doing more than others that you've noticed?
Yes, so all the states have plans to increase capex spending this year and over the next 4 years. But New South Wales and Victoria have the largest capex plans compared to their share of the economy. It definitely makes sense in Victoria's case. They have felt the brunt of the pandemic more than the other states with that second wave of cases and the very tough restrictions that they face there. Victoria's also had a very strong rate of population growth in recent years, so there is a real need for strong infrastructure spending to help keep up with the growing population.
And that's obviously something that we noticed when the national accounts data was released last week now. So for the third quarter, the Victorian economy was the only economy to contract in the third quarter. I think it was down about 1%, whereas all the other state and territory economies did record stronger growth in the third quarter. And we do anticipate, obviously, the Victorian economy to recover in the fourth quarter now that restrictions are being eased. Now, Nick, I'm going to come to you now because you have been spending a lot of time this year looking at the CBA internal data and helping us form a view of how not only what consumers are spending their money on, but also how the various state economies are performing as a result of that. So when we look at consumer spending, this is obviously going to be a big driver of growth in 2021. Are we seeing any interesting trends at the state level when we look at our at card spend data?
Yes, we are, Belinda, and we've seen a trend repeated twice this year across different states, and that is that CBA consumers or credit and debit card holders of CBA accounts are very confident when it comes to getting out and about and spending following the successful containment of the coronavirus outbreak and an easing in state shutdown restrictions. So in Victoria, we saw in-store spending growth snap back and actually outpace New South Wales less than a week after restrictions were materially eased in late October. In South Australia, there was a similarly rapid rebound after just 2 weeks of weak in-store spending growth. And this was because the South Australian government was very effective in containing the virus and subsequently easing restrictions. Another trend we're seeing at a more broad-based level across all states and territories is a pickup in interstate travel through recreation, transport, as well as eating and drinking out spending categories. Tasmania and Queensland in particular have seen big lifts in recreation spending growth. And so looking ahead, we think that to see consumer spending growth continue on an upward path. And in particular, we think that domestic tourism should perform really strongly.
In 2021, yes, the state borders definitely reopen. I think what consumers have already shown us in recent months is it was the restrictions holding back spending rather than any form of pessimism in relation to the outlook. And I think that was really shown in this week's consumer sentiment numbers, which are now at a 10-year high, which is just extraordinary. Now, what has obviously been helping also this consumer rebound has been the labour market as well. We have definitely seen some recovery in the labour market in recent months. What is some of the internal data that we've been watching here at CBA? And also, how is that showing us how the different state labour markets are performing?
So the internal data, which we have been looking at, marries up quite nicely with the strong recovery we've seen in the ABS's labour force survey since May this year. Our data shows that the number of CBA account holders receiving job seeker payments has been firmly trending downwards over recent weeks as jobs growth is picking up. And this has resulted in an interesting dynamic where at an aggregate level, the decline in government benefit payments into CBA bank accounts has actually been offset by strong rebound in salaries and wages paid. And the net effect is that the average CBA bank account is still receiving around 10% more income than it received in the same period last year or around early December last year. And so this pickup in wages and salaries is a really strong supporting mechanism for consumer spending. And it's a particularly strong result when we consider the backdrop that the number of people Treasury and the Australian Tax Office have estimated are on JobKeeper has declined massively, and that since late September, JobKeeper has actually been tapered and tiered substantially. So it's been business trading activity which has driven the pickup in wages and salaries paid rather than fiscal income support from the government.
Have we seen all the states perform, I guess, in a uniform manner, or have you seen some differences in performance in that job seeker data?
Well, most of the states have been trending downwards. Victoria and the ACT in recent weeks have been trending lower at a faster rate. But generally, we have seen a strong, broad-based recovery in the job seeker side of things. One thing we will note is that South Australia may be showing a little bit of weakness given the shutdowns, but there's been nothing major that we've seen in the data so far.
All right, turning to you, Christina. So you've had a good look about how the various state economies could perform in 2021, taking all that data into account, so things like consumer spending, the housing market, and obviously that infrastructure pipeline as well. How do you think the various state labour markets will perform in 2021? Are there any clear outperformers or underperformers in your view?
Well, in general, we expect all the state labour markets to improve from here. So obviously there's a lot of government support that's helping recovery. Also, monetary policy is very supportive as well. in the near term, though, we do see the unemployment rate moving a bit higher in Victoria. So we're seeing a lot of people come back into the labour market now those restrictions are over, and we're seeing the participation rate rise quite sharply in Victoria. But over the second half of 2021, we expect to see the unemployment rate coming back down in Victoria, and we'll start to, the labour market there will probably start to look a lot more like what we're seeing in New South Wales.
And I guess when we look at the overall state economic performance, we do obviously have, from a broad Australian point of view, quite a strong economic recovery in 2021 after a contraction of around 2.8% in 2020. We are expecting GDP growth to rise by a bit over 4% in 2021. What about the various state economies? How do you think they're going to perform, and any, once again, clear outperformers and underperformers?
Yeah, once again, we expect a pretty broad-based recovery from here. Again, looking at Victoria, we are expecting to see some very strong quarterly growth numbers over the next couple of quarters, just as Victoria catches up after their tight restrictions earlier this year. Looking a little bit further ahead, we do expect New South Wales and Victoria to do quite well. They tend to benefit the most from a very low interest rate environment, and that's what we're in now. Also, as those international borders open back up, we can expect to see those student flows come back again. It'll be important to watch some of the smaller economies that are more exposed to the agricultural sector, like South Australia and Tasmania. So we are really seeing a ramping up in those trade tensions between China and Australia, and agricultural exports are the ones that are being targeted so far. So that's something to watch for some of those smaller states.
All right, Christina, Anika, it's been great to get your insights. It's going to be certainly a fascinating 2021 as we see the economic recovery take hold, and obviously what that means for the various state economies. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks, Belinda.
Now, you can read Christina Clifton's report on the public sector infrastructure spending boom, which was published on the 7th of December 2020. And then you can also look at our state chart pack that we all published on the 10th of December 2020. Now, you can find all our research on combankresearch.com.au, and where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis, and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement.